You're listening to Sci-Fi for Chicks on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Coming up, the ladies talk about the women of The Walking Dead.
A lot of the things that come out in the comic book are a little more realistic, but more of a bad portrayal of women.
When she sees, wait, there's something else here that I'm uniquely qualified to help with. I really love where her character is going and really hope that she sticks around.
I don't know. I'd like to think she's strong enough where she would just move on and not do the suicide thing, but let's hope it doesn't come to that.
She's a very strong character in the comic book too, but she's still shown to be a woman who is really needing of a man.
It sounds like Kirkman is living out some sort of male fantasy with what all the women are doing in the comic books, and somebody on the TV show is going, look, we can't shoot it like that. We want a female audience.
That's next on Sci-Fi for Chicks, Women of Genre. Do you ever wonder what a woman really thinks about?
Doctor Who.
Harry Potter.
Lust.
Orphan Black.
Grimm.
Space. The
Fear
Final
the
Frontier.
Walking
Outlander.
Dead.
Star Wars.
Heroes and Heroes Reborn.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agent Carter.
Mr. Robot.
Lord of the Rings.
I, Zombie.
Stargate.
Alien.
The Secrets of the Immortal Nicholas
The Marvel Film. Movies.
Penny Dreadful.
Walking Dead.
X-Men. Cosmos.
Firefly.
Game of Thrones.
Harry Dresden.
The Return.
The Spiderwick Chronicles.
Teen Wolf.
Sherlock.
Battlestar Galactica.
Sleepy
Hollow.
Star Trek.
Torchwood.
Guardians
Jurassic
of the Galaxy.
Galaxy.
All you have to do is listen. This is Sci-Fi for Chicks.
Thank you for tuning in to Sci-Fi for Chicks, Women of Genre, where we look at female characters in some of our favorite TV shows, books, movies, and more. Today, the ladies will be talking about the women of The Walking Dead on AMC, which just returned for its sixth season on Sunday, October 11th. For news and recap on The Walking Dead, please go to scififorme.com and check out Team Zombie and their opinions. And don't forget to check out Sci-Fi for Chicks coverage of Fear the Walking Dead. We podcasted on the first season. Go over to iTunes or the podcast platform of your choice to download all the episodes. Now let's join the ladies to talk the women of The Walking Dead.
My name is Heather, and I am joined by two fabulous females, wonderful women, lovely ladies, charming chicks. I think I'm out of alliterative adjectives here, ladies. Returning to the podcast is my best bud and fellow Dallasite, Doreen. Hey, Doreen.
Hey, Heather. Hey, Jen.
And finally, a longtime friend and fellow geek girl, but a newbie to podcasting, Jennifer. Hi, Jen.
Hi, how you doing?
We're doing good here. For this episode, we're going to be talking about the women of The Walking Dead. We had one time talked about doing a podcast of The Walking Dead, but over at scififorme.com, Tim and Dustin and company do a, it's kind of like a podcast in prose. It's almost like a play. It reads like a play because they write down everything they were talking about during the show. Make sure to go over to scififorme.com and check that out. They will be returning in season 6. We're going to be talking about the women of the show, and spoiler alert, we're going to be talking about events that take place all the way up through season 5, as well as mentioning some things that happen in the comics, because Jennifer has actually read the first two compendiums. So if you don't want to know what's happening, what's going on, it's time to tune out now and go check out our other podcast. So ladies, something that I really love about Walking Dead is that this really is Rick's show. We started out following him. We go where he goes. And he's kind of like our surrogate. You know, he was new to this world and got thrown into it. But it really didn't take long for the other characters to flesh out, so to speak, and really become integral to the show, just as integral as Rick. And it's not just the male characters. I think it's especially the female characters in this zombie world. What do you guys think about the ladies in general in this zombie apocalypse?
I think they're badass.
Jen cuts right to the
chase.
That's
right.
I love it.
Well, they're learning that they learn quickly to step up and not be the helpless female who, you know, just does the cleaning up after everybody, or, you know, they're an active, equal part of the group. So equal, they pull their weight and they're not afraid to kick ass, as Jen says.
You know, Doreen, you're the reason that I got into the show in the first place. I was very staunchly against it for quite a while.
I know.
And you got, yeah, I was stubborn. What can I say? Well, you got me to see that it really was more like Lost, a character-based show, just with zombies instead of smoke monsters.
That's right.
Do you think these characters, particularly the female characters, are realistic? I mean, is this how women really would compete in this zombie apocalypse?
Well, I can't say for every woman, but I think so. I mean, you're going to have your crybabies who don't last more than a couple days, you know, or are the ones who cling to a strong male character kind of thing to protect them. But I think, you know, it's that you survive or you die, you know, I mean, you have to choose. And I think it is realistic. And we saw the different arcs, you know, like Andrea in the first season, she was ready to die at the CDC. She was just not going to deal with it, you know, and then she became this badass, you know, and, she could fend for herself. She wanted to do everything she could to, you know, shoot a gun properly and to do what needed to be done. And then she kind of, when she hooked up with the governor, she still could do those things, but she also got a little bit of her femininity back as far as, because she was in a safe environment. But she learned and adapted, and I don't think she lost any of her self. I think she built on herself, so.
What about you, Jen? Do you think that this is a good portrayal of how women would be in the zombie apocalypse?
You know, it's interesting. It's an interesting question. And I think, especially since I read the comic books, and mm-hmm. the reason why, and the comic books, what comes out is a lot more women who are wanting to commit suicide. They there's more competition for the men.
Yeah.
Than you ever see in the, show. And, whether that's more realistic or not than the show, I think a lot of the things that come out in the comic book are a little more realistic, but more of a bad portrayal of women in general.
Hmm.
Because they're shown to be a lot more weak. Like even Michonne is like competing for men, talking about how she's lonely. And same thing with Andrea, who she's around a lot longer in the comic book
mm-hmm.
than she is in the show. And she actually makes a pass at Rick, which Rick says, no, I'm not going there with you on that. And so to address your original question, there's elements in the comic book that are very realistic, but the show, I think, has a much better portrayal of women in general as being strong and being independent and really just kicking ass.
Right. Well, kind of along this, because you were bringing this up, you know, I'm new-ish to The Walking Dead. I started season 4. I watched season 1, then season 4, then went back and got 2 and 3, which a lot of people look at me funny for, but, you know, come on, if they're not there in season 4, I figure they're dead. You are super new. You started, and the only reason I know the date is because Doreen and I were at Fan Days. And the day that Melissa McBride was there, you're like, yeah, I'm going to stay home that day. And you started February 8th watching season 1. You are not only up to date on the show, but you've read the first two compendiums, not the first two comic books, the first two compendiums of comic books here. How did the show that you were also against, just like I was, like, no, I'm not going to like it, it's not my kind of thing, how did it hook you so fast and so hard?
Well, I tell you, the first episode I watched years ago and it freaked me out. When they got to Atlanta, I had to turn it off. I couldn't handle it.
I understand.
But like, but I started watching it again and I was like, I'm going to get past this first episode. And I got past the first episode. And then I became hooked, and I think you're right in your comparison of it to Lost, because it becomes so much more about the relationships between these people and so much less about the zombies.
Right. Yeah, I remember when I finally said that, Doreen is like, I've been telling you this for so long, Heather.
Well, if it was just about gore and zombies, it would get old really fast.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
It's a very compelling story.
And it's amazing, I think, how quickly you really do get sucked into these people's lives. I think, which is why I think it's good the way they started it out with Rick being thrown, totally thrust into the situation and having to see that everybody else around him, even these, you know, meek, mild-mannered women, had already adjusted to it while he's still trying to do it. It kind of did help. I agree with you because I recently tried to watch the pilot again, and I can't because the pilot is actually freakier. It's like, go ahead, give me the whole thing with, like, Noah getting pulled apart in front of Glenn. That I can handle now, but some of the stuff in the first episode, and maybe it's because it was so new, I just really... was really freaking me out. So I totally understand what you're saying. But that's Rick. Let's go into the ladies and see how far we get on the list of some of the ladies we have here. Something I find interesting is I was kind of looking through, making sure I wasn't missing any of the women that I wanted to have on our list. Every single one of them, with the exception of a couple of the Alexandrites, have lost their entire family. They are all basically orphans. And even the Alexandrites now have lost somebody in their family. We have three main female characters, and I mean that by, like, they're in the opening credits. We have Carol, Maggie, and Michonne. We've been with Carol the longest, so let's go ahead and start with her, also because she's the one that we saw at Fan Days. I mean, she started as this meek, mild, abused woman with a small child. She was only a supporting character, and I think she was actually listed as a supporting character up through season... definitely through three. I want to say even into part of four, she was still not in the opening credits. Now she's a fan fave, which Doreen and I can totally vouch for, seeing how the entire audience went crazy for her. And she's a title character. Why do you think she's transformed so much from a character we all thought was going to die? And Jen, doesn't she actually die in the comics?
Yeah, she commits suicide by walking into a zombie.
So why do you think they made that change and have made Carol now this really strong character that's threatening really tall doctors and really small children and everyone in between?
I love her arc. It shows how strong women can be when they're really met with adversity. And the interesting thing about Carol is since she knew how to live, she managed to figure out how to live with her husband. Mm-hmm. And that experience shapes her in her new world, where she's very adaptable to whatever situation she's in.
That was a great thing in the finale, wasn't it? Yeah, because I was with you when she was talking about that, how she had to do that adapting and learn how to survive, and seeing her talk about that comparison of surviving an abusive husband and surviving a zombie horde and surviving being among people who are ready to decide your fate. I think that's a really good comparison.
Yeah, it is.
What do you think about Carol, Doreen?
Oh, you know I love Carol. Yeah, I mean, she's just, in the beginning she was so, she was abused and she was battered and very submissive and meek, but you knew you had it in her. You know, she had the determination to find your daughter She was, you know, mother Daryl along the way, I don't know. I'm not sure when the actual turning point was, but just seeing, you know, people around her dying, and she doesn't want that for herself. You know, she will do what she can, and she's in the right group of people, especially, like, I mean, look at Maggie and Michonne. They're, like, great role models for her, too, to be like, hey, I'm a woman, too, and I'm not covering in the corner crying, you know. So, but Carol, she realized her strengths, and she's, you know, really playing them, because she's not the Laura Croft type, obviously. She's more the silent, stand back and observe and then figure out your plan type, so.
Right. Well, and you brought up words, actually, that's exactly kind of what I was thinking. It's like, what was the turning point for her that maybe, I mean, I don't know if this was something that the writers saw and decided not to go the suicide route or the way they just happened to go. I mean, I don't know. Was it when Sophia died? And I mean, I think Daryl definitely has a part to do with it, because I think it either has to do her turning sometime maybe around Sophia when she died, or the whole Cherokee Rose thing, or maybe even Rick kicking her out. I don't know. What do you think the turning point was for her?
I think it was when her daughter died.
Sophia?
For me. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Because she didn't have anyone else to look after that. So she replaced it with other people. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, she could look out for herself. And she realized how self-sufficient she actually was in this new world.
Well, and then too, when she was kind of in charge of Micah and Lizzie, you know, it was like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm not going to lose any more like that.
Right.
And then she was teaching those little classes, you know, behind Rick's back on how to protect yourself mm-hmm. and how to use a knife. And yeah, I think now that she had, I mean, when they were in that camp with the kids, when they brought the kids from Woodbury over, it kind of, you know, she didn't want them to have the same fate as Sophia.
And yet, basically, they did. I mean, there was that powerful episode. You know, look at the flowers, Lizzie, mm-hmm. Didn't Brighton was saying something about, yeah, people are always bringing flowers, always saying, look at the flowers now. It's like, yeah, that's going to be with you for the rest of your life, that's Brighton.
Right. You know everything, ma'am.
No, I don't.
What is it? What is it? Are you mad at me? Is that what you wanted to talk to me about? I'm sorry I pointed my gun at you. I just needed you to wait.
I know.
I'm sorry. You're mad at me.
I love you, Lizzie. And everything works out the way it's supposed to.
I'm sorry. Please don't be mad at me. I'm sorry.
You just look at the flowers, Lizzie. Just look at the flowers. Just look at the flowers.
The rest of your life. I don't know, maybe that also, that's when she finally, to me, also really shed any connection. I mean, seeing her do that, and then when, what's the little kid's, Jesse's son's name that keeps, Sam, is it?
Yeah, I think it's...
Something like that, yeah. He's a little boy, whatever. How she's trying to push him away.
Yeah.
No. I saw that. It's kind of like my mom not wanting another pet because I'll love it, I'll care for it, and it'll die on me.
Yeah.
And then when she sees, wait, there's something else here that I'm uniquely qualified to recognize. I'm uniquely qualified to help with the whole abuse. I really love where her character is going and really hope that she sticks around quite a bit.
Well, she can't commit suicide now. It would be a big cop-out and everybody would be upset and pissed at her. You know, I mean,
Riot.
A zombie's going to have to take her out or another person with a gun or something. There's no more suicide on the table for Carol, I don't think.
I agree.
I don't think for any of our main characters. I mean, like Maggie has been through a whole bunch too with, you know, losing her whole family. That moment when she thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to be reunited with Beth. Beth is okay. And that's when Daryl comes walking out holding Beth's body and she just broke. And then you see her now and she's not. She is moving forward. So that's not an option for her either. Now, Maggie, though, has a kind of a unique situation in our world here in that she does have that significant other. We have her and Glenn, who started out, I think, kind of more as a boy toy for her.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is kind of fun. And, you know, zombie apocalypse, not a lot of guys to choose from.
Yeah.
And now they're kind of like that old married couple. I mean, does the show need to have that for hope, this young love, this looking to the future? Or is this kind of that foreboding, sense of foreboding? I mean, I remember when Maggie and Glenn got reunited in the, what was it, that tunnel or the mine shaft or something, and she burned that picture of her that he had been holding on to. It's like, was that kind of like a sign of true confidence that they're going to make it to the end? Or is that her tempting fate for her or for Glenn or for both? I mean, let's talk about Maggie.
Maggie's an interesting character in the comic book, actually. The comparison between her and the comic book and the TV show is radically different. As in the show, she stands more, she's a lot stronger of a character. In the book, she's more, in the comic book, she's a lot more about her man. And, you know, she needs Glenn around. She can't function without Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
She prevents Glenn from going out and doing his job.
Which she's definitely not doing in the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely not.
So when I think of Maggie, I think of the difference between the show and the comic book.
We need to have a talk with Ron Kirkman and how he writes these ladies. Because, yeah. No, I kind of thought, though, if anything does happen to Glenn, like in the final show, when you weren't sure, you know, you just saw him mm-hmm. disappear under the pile of walkers, and you're like, oh, no. I really didn't. I thought, Maggie can't handle another blow. I don't know if something were to happen to Glenn, if she wouldn't consider it. I don't know. I'd like to think she's strong enough where she would just move on and not do the suicide thing, but I don't know. I mean, losing her dad, losing her sister, I mean, everyone in her family, and then Glenn, too. Let's hope it doesn't come mm-hmm. to that. But
well, I did tell Steven Yeun he can't die because I have him there until the end. I remember I said, I have you till the end. He's like, oh, end of the season? I'm like, no, end of the series, baby. Yeah. He was very happy about that. I think that the show needs them. And I think a problem is early on in those first few seasons, you could have a major character like Lori die or Andrea die because it was you still didn't know. But now we've gone through 5 seasons with Carol and 4 seasons with Maggie, and they're so established. I think it would really be like, I almost wonder if that's why like the T-Dogs and the Tyrese's keep coming in, because we need somebody else that has the heart of the group, but we need to be able to get rid of them because we can't get rid of Maggie and Glenn. It's just what I say. I mean, I hate to also make them just a couple, because she's very strong in her own right. I love that moment, and it's hasn't even really fleshed itself out, really. Well, actually, no, it did. That moment when she's in Deanna's house, and Father Gabriel comes in and warns Deanna about Satan within the walls, and she overhears everything. How her and Sasha and Father Gabriel dealt with that in the end, how she was there for me. I like that she's not this total, you know, my way or the highway kind of thing. And she's not this total overreactor. She found a way to make it work. It's like she has this voice of reason. It's all, I feel like a lot of Herschel kind of was imparted in her, and like maybe she has that, I have to carry on for my family. I have to have those, as long as I live, I have to make sure they stay alive and do honor and good by them. I think
Glenn and Maggie as a couple are absolutely essential to the show. I mean, they function to know that love continues to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the progression of their relationship as the zombie apocalypse is happening around them. And I think they're absolutely essential to the show as a couple.
Well, and it keeps each of them moving on. I mean, when they were separated, you know, Glenn was just like, whether Maggie was alive or dead, he didn't know, but it gave him purpose to continue.
And these main characters, we have Carol, who had the really bad relationship, and she was glad to get rid of Ed, which, of course, all of us were when she was telling Deanna, I miss that man every day. We're all like, uh-huh, what? What? Oh, she's got a plan. To Maggie and, I love that, that was a great moment. To Maggie and Glenn having that happy life, our third main female is Michonne, who had the happy life before, and then, you know, zombie apocalypse took it away with her husband and friend, and or her lover, I guess they don't know they were married yet, and her child. Michonne is this iconic character. I mean, I remember people, Michonne, oh my gosh, she's finally here, with that iconic image of her standing there with the hood and the katana and her two pets. And, you know, this solitary figure that could do everything that they needed to do, but really stayed alone. And I like that she had that solitariness into the group, but really, you could tell she wanted to be a part of the group. Like that image, I guess it was when she first really met the prison,
in the prison,
and she's coming up covered in the zombie guts, but she's got the baby formula, and she's coming up to the the chain link fence and Rick sees her, that look on her face of like, not, I don't even want to say help me, but like, let me in. I don't know. It's hard to describe. Michonne is such a complicated but simple character.
Yeah. Well, and then also when they let her in the prison and, you know, Herschel and Rick and Daryl were all interrogating her and they were not quite very nice. And then Rick goes off. Well, they all go off and she's looking through the cell. She's locked in one of the, not the cell, but they lock her in one of the areas, but she sees the baby and she sees everybody hugging each other and she sees that they really are good people and they're a close family and they're just being protective, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you could tell she kind of was like, oh, this does exist, or it still exists somewhere. I hope to be a part of that.
And she had a really good, has a really good connection. I think one of my favorite ones is her connection with Carl and Rick. That episode, mid-season 4 episode after the whole prison thing, that was just the three of them.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that episode because she was this rock of sanity for them. I mean, this woman who did almost go off the deep end as Rick is injured and falling apart and Carl is having this meltdown, breakdown, everything's in him, blaming his dad. It's like she's the one that keeps bringing sanity back. Well, and even at the season finale here, when Rick started going all psycho.
Yeah.
And she clocks him. And you find out why she clocked him. I didn't clock him for them. I clocked you for you. For us, like, she is still, I had a moment there where I'm like, uh-oh, has Michonne had a drink of that Alexandrite Kool-Aid, you know? But she is so in tight with them. I love watching her bonds with everybody really grow and seeing how invested she is in this whole group. But especially, I really do like the Carl relationship.
I think we got about a day's worth of water left. Lucky it's cooled off a little bit, but what are you doing?
Winning a bet.
In your dreams.
I'm still on.
You spoke too soon, wise guy.
This might go on a while. Maybe we can speed this up.
Yeah, you're right. Shouldn't be fooling around. We should probably call.
I win. Pay up. Is that really the last big cat?
Oh, come on.
Hey, but you said winner's choice.
Go ahead, take it. It's yours. You won it. Fair and square.
Come on, we always share.
Work it off.
Yeah, it makes you wonder. I wish they kind of would have gone a little bit more in her backstory. But, you know, I guess we've passed that now. You know, we don't know. Maybe she came from a big family or maybe she had brothers.
Yeah, Michonne in the comic book, you don't really get much of her backstory either. But what you did get from her interactions is Rick relies on her so much in the comic book as well. She's the strongest woman character in the comic book. But at the same time, she is always reminiscing on how she's alone and how she wants to have some guy, and she's competing with at one point she's competing with another woman for the same guy. Should I give it away?
we did spoiler alert. I'm fine.
You're
with
fine.
It.
Okay. All right. Well, Michonne gets Carol and Therese are a couple. And Michonne interjects herself into the relationship. And that's when Carol commits suicide.
Oh.
And then also later on, she gets with Morgan. And anyway, those are her sexual escapades in the comic book. but I guess the point of it is, though, she's a very strong character in the comic book, too, but she's still shown to be a woman who is really needing of a man in her life.
Which I don't really get in the show. I like how they do have her. I think she's needing of a man in her life, but not because it's a man. She needs a human connection. I see her really wanting to make those human connections and not go like feral. That's kind of what I get from Michonne on the show. Is I want to be human. I want to be a woman. I don't want to be an animal.
Yeah.
I would say it's the same in the comic book in that respect. Absolutely. So
okay, what are these ladies? These are three main ladies here. Not that they've been the only main ladies, but they're the only ones in the opening credits, really. What do they kind of as a group bring to the show, and what do you think their chances are of surviving season six to the end? Are they safe, or are they in trouble?
Oh, that's hard to say. I mean, I love all three of them, and they're all three strong, so you want to say, oh, they're going to be there till the end. Mm-hmm. But realistically, you have no idea. I don't know. I'd like to say Michonne will definitely be there to the end, because she's just hardcore, but that's really tough for me to answer. I'm sorry. It is.
Nope.
I mean...
Well, no, it is tough, because I love all three characters. I love how these women are portraying them, too. I mean, you know, Melissa and Lauren and Danae are just fabulous in how they portray these women. And they all still have a vulnerable side. And I still see very much, well, more of the female side on Maggie now that she's no longer covered in dirt and grime. And,
yeah.
You know, that moment when she was walking with Sasha and is like, you know, how much longer? And Sasha's thinking she means distance. And she's like, no. How much longer can we survive this? You know, that I thought that was a great moment for her as well. I don't think that there's an easy way that you can kill these three off. They would, I just don't know. I don't know how they could at this point, in five seasons in.
I could see, not that I want her to go, I don't want anyone to go, but I could see if they decide to let Carol go, that her character would probably end up, I could see her dying by saving somebody, you know.
Yeah.
Easy. Either, whether it's another kid or, you know, or Daryl or something, but.
Yeah, it always comes back to Daryl.
It does
it?
Come back to Daryl. Well, they, you know what? I don't care if they get romantically involved or not. I'm not on that bandwagon either way, but they do have a connection, a very strong connection. Mm-hmm. So. You know, he kind of had a battered lifestyle too, and, but they just have a connection. So, but if Carol had to go, I could see her going in that kind of fashion.
Saving Daryl.
Saving someone.
The last moment.
Maybe not Daryl, but, you know.
What do you think, Jen? What are their chances of survival?
Well, you know, I was sitting here thinking that of the three, the one that would be most likely to go first would be Maggie. And the only reason why I say that is because I think Carol and Michonne are a lot more stronger characters than Maggie is.
Yeah, I can see that.
When you have you could have the flip too. We've had the illusions, the actual visual illusions to in the comics. Glenn dies, and he's hit in the head with a baseball bat. I guess is what it is, or something like that. And we had that one at what was it? Noah's little. Mm-hmm. Cul-de-sac area, whatever, when he picks up a baseball bat. And they've even said that was a specific allusion to how Glenn dies in the comics. Mm-hmm. And I know that when he dies, Maggie is either pregnant or she's had the baby. Something, I remember hearing or reading something about that.
I can't confirm or deny that. I'm not that far.
Okay, sorry. So, I mean, I could see almost them doing a flip, you know, like we're not going to kill Glenn.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll flip it, since we haven't killed Glenn already, maybe we'll flip it and do that, which would be just really sad for Herschel's family because she's the last one.
Yeah.
But I also wouldn't like for her to have a baby and then she dies and Glenn ends up being like the next Rick.
Yeah.
You know, battling walkers while carrying the baby, like Rick is with Judith, kind of thing. I wouldn't like that repeat. So.
Well, what about if we revert back to Lost? Maybe him and Maggie go together, like.
Oh, there you go, like Son and Jin.
Like Son and Jin.
And then leave their baby with Carol, not knowing that
baby, or she's pregnant still. You know.
Well, I was gonna say, you know, just leaves the baby with Carol, not knowing about her thing with flowers.
Yes. So. Hey, as long as the baby doesn't feed zombies, it's okay.
Let's move on to the supporting female characters. We have three of them. That's Sasha, Rosita, and Tara, who are solidly part of our group and have very different dynamics there. I mean, we have Sasha, who's going off the deep end, Rosita, who seems to have clicked back in her old self, and Tara, who I think is finally getting to a point where she doesn't feel guilty for having fought on the governor's side and believed him. What do you think of these three women?
Well, I think first of their relationship in the comic book, and Tara isn't in it. And Sasha is a part of Andrea, because Sasha is the sharpshooter of the bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And that part in the comic book is Andrea. And then Rosita, interestingly enough, in the comic book, she and Abraham split up. Abraham leaves Rosita for another woman, and then Rosita kind of disappears. Towards the end of the compendium, I didn't even see her.
It sounds like Kirkman is living out some sort of male fantasy with what all the women are doing in the comic books, and somebody on the TV show is going, look, we can't shoot it like that. We want a female audience, okay? Comic books maybe skew more male, but...
Because
Rosita is one of the only... Like, of the four of the female characters that we have here, she's only one of four that we've actually seen get any action. You go, girl.
You go, girl.
Yeah. And she's a lot stronger
in the library,
in the
too.
Yeah.
Well, and I remember when her and Abraham and Eugene showed up, because it was, I think it was a mid-season finale, and it was just that final shot, and the fans went wild, you know, about how, you know, and I'm like, okay. So they show up, but everybody that had read the comics was just like, oh my god, yes, they're finally here. Even the exact same pose from the comics and la 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 la, and talking about that. I like Rosita. She's got a little bit of feisty there to her. I'm interested to see what Alexandria is going to do to her, though. Because it's almost like they don't need what she brings in Alexandria. I don't know.
I like her in the show so much better than I do in the comic. That's
I feel for Sasha, I really do. I kind of want her to snap out of it, but at the same time, I totally understand. And I give her kudos for reaching out for guidance, but unfortunately it was when Father Gabriel was at his worst, you know.
That scene was awesome, though, because like you were saying, she finally drops down and is like, oh my god, I need help, you know, after everything that happened to Bob. I mean, come on, your boyfriend has his leg eaten, we have barbecue, and then dies, basically giving you permission, and then Tyrese, oh, the whole thing with Tyrese, and just seeing her totally break down, and I think it was on Talking Dead, they were talking about, Melissa was talking about that scene where she lies down in the pit of the walkers that she's killed, and how she almost looks peaceful. And, like, Chris Hardwick didn't get it, but when Melissa described it, I went, oh, yeah, that makes so much more sense of that visual that I had in my head from watching the finale, that she's laying down almost like at peace for the first time in however long, you know. But that scene, when she reaches out to Father Gabriel and he says, no, everybody's, this is all your fault. It's all because of you. And then her and Maggie almost bringing him back, which a lot of us wished we would just push Father Gabriel outside the wall and leave him there.
Yeah.
She's really done. Sonequa has done a fabulous job this season. I mean, I care about her. In the previous seasons, I was like, yeah. When are you going to die? You're a red shirt. You're going to go. And now I really feel that she's really evolved into this incredible character.
Yeah, I want her to come back from the deep end.
Yeah.
Because I like her as much as you do. I really want her to come back.
She makes stupid, just like Michonne says... She says it all the time. God, and of course I can't remember. Something makes you stupid. Anger makes you stupid, or whatever. And it is. She put everybody in jeopardy when they were trying to do the bridge thing and let the zombies fall off the side of the road. And they had it working. And then she had to go Rambo. And next thing you know, it's this big, you know, production. Michonne almost got scratched. And, you know, it's like,
Well, it's very much like what Michonne went through that time when she went on that massive, let me just stand, zombies, come after me. Come on, walkers, come and get me. I'm going to just hack everybody up. I mean, she saw that how far to the deep end she is, she was able to get. And it's one of those things I think, you can tell me that, but I've got to learn this on my own. And I think she finally has. I hope she has. But I think she'd been tough. One of those, like, she was always so adamant too. I'm not my brother. I'm not like Tyrese. You know, don't compare me to him. I mean, and which I kind of get. I have a brother that I'm actually very similar to, but I spent my entire childhood going, I'm nothing like him. No. Kirk and I are totally different. No. And that seems kind of how she was. It's like, no, we're totally different. And now he's gone and she realizes how alone she is. And I think it just really pushed her to a point where she either was going to go or get somebody killed or, you know, somebody who's going to help reel her back. I love that she did reach out for help. It was just not the best person. They all still have way too much faith in Father Gabriel. I'm glad that Deanna blew the whistle on him at that meeting.
Yeah.
So, you know what I find really interesting about this show that I think draws me in so much is the fact that it shows in your deepest, darkest hour, who do you choose to be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these women of The Walking Dead, the choices they make reflects directly on who they're choosing to be in that moment. And I don't know, it's just very profound to see the differences in the characters and how they interact and react to their situation.
I totally agree. I mean, one thing I really love about Tara's character, because she could really easily be a throwaway as well. I mean, she lost her sister, Lily, and niece, I guess, Megan, I guess it was, because of the governor. You know, everybody, she totally believed this guy. He sucked her in, which I totally understand. David Morrissey is a very charismatic man. And, you know, the governor, he's nice. He's misunderstood. that's my party line. I'm sticking to it. But when she saw, I mean, she went full force. She was ready to attack the prison. But when she saw what that actually encompassed, what he was actually doing, this horror on her face and, you know, what was happening, everything that she lost everybody. When she met up with Glenn, how she handled herself with Glenn and being honest with him and telling this and really just opening up and being honest about what happened and how sorry she is and making amends. I have so much respect for how she handled that because that takes a lot. She could have easily just lied and not said anything and not let people know and not have nothing to do with Woodbury. I mean, who would really know? But she was honest in her character because she really wanted, I think, forgiveness and wanted to move on and be a part of this family as well.
I think she acted like, I won't say normal person. I mean, I think a normal person would be like, oh my God, I was totally led astray and I didn't really mean this and I don't deserve your forgiveness. I mean, so, you know, I mean, I think most people would feel that way. I would anyway, you know, being told one thing and then you get there and it's just, you know, you were following some madman, you know, and his ideal. But she just wanted to be a part of a group and part of a family. I mean, they lost their father, and then they left that place, and they thought the governor was like their savior almost. So of course, I mean, I would have believed him too at first. I would have been like, well, he came and he was nice and he took care of us and he's great with my niece and, you know, so yeah.
And the acceptance too, because, you know, her being a lesbian and open to that relationship and such. I think she did feel accepted, but yeah, how she stepped up though, and how watching how people now, like when she got hurt, here we have Eugene who didn't want to step up for anybody, anywhere, anytime. And when Tara's really in peril, he finally steps up. He finally is brave. I mean, this is something that she brought out in him that the whole group did, but you know, she really was that breaking point. I can't let this person die. I'm not going to abandon her. And I think that says a lot for her character.
Yeah.
Eugene and her are best friends. And it's an interesting path that Eugene takes, because it does take her, her injury to bring out what Eugene, the best in Eugene. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, and since he knows, you know, she kept his secret. He told her, you know, things that he hasn't told anybody else. And she's like, that's in the past. We're good. You know, don't worry about it. I gotcha. She's the kind of friend I think all of us really want to have and hope that we have and hope that we can be. I'm not saying anything more. I'm sitting here with two friends and go, yeah, that's exactly the kind of friend I would be. I hope. Please. Somebody that I'm kind of thinking I have some traits of that I don't necessarily want to have traits of. Let's move into some of our new recurring characters, our Alexandrites. Deanna. Who's Deanna? Great Abraham line. And it's such a stupid line, but it's a great line. We have Deanna, who is letting everybody in and assigning jobs and being still very political. We have Jesse, the wife and mother who's been abused but wants to reach out. And then Enid, cute little Enid, who's kind of in her little emo
world.
Teenage angst thing there. What do you think of our new, obviously recurring characters, at least enough to get us into season 6, because they did all survive. Spoiler.
Well, I like what the show did in making Deanna the leader of Alexandria, because it's different.
It's a man, right?
Yeah, it's a man. It's a man. And I think as a woman, it becomes a very powerful character.
Mm-hmm.
And I think her arc over the course of the story, or of the show, is going to be really good.
How did you like how she went from this very methodical, okay, you come in, you sit down, I'm going to interview you, I'm taping this for transparency, this word that we hear a lot in news, and it's kind of funny when you think about it. I'm like, I don't even watch the videos of Great Vacations anymore. Who's watching all these videos of interviews you're doing? So we start with her there and assigning jobs to that last scene when Psycho Pete comes in. And I'm going to say accidentally, on purpose, kills her husband. That look on her face when she tells Rick, do it. Oh, this total opposite of where she was.
Yeah, it's right out of the comic book, but it's backwards. So the Pete kills, I think his name's Douglas. Douglas's wife. And then Douglas tells Rick to go ahead, do it, kill him.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think it's so much more interesting having a woman in that role.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see if what kind of fate she becomes, where she goes in her character.
What do you think of her arc with the fact that she was open and welcome to everybody, and then start seeing all these things like with Aiden, her son not coming back, and other things happening, and then Father Gabriel tells her that Satan is within your walls, and then seeing Rick come with the dead walker that Gabriel led into the walls, and all of this. What do you think of how she handled all those things? I mean, she was very matter of fact in the beginning, and now she had that very emotional moment, almost revenge-like. I mean, what do you think of her fluctuation from one end to the other?
It's like she's finally seeing reality. You know, they're living in their perfect little world. And I'm sure at first she probably was like, I should have never let these people in here because everything was great up until now. But at the same time, that doesn't mean trouble wasn't going to happen, you know. But yeah, she's probably like regretting it, having them come in. But once they meet these W Wolf people, I'm sure it'll be a different story. But I think, you know, she's getting a dose of reality.
Well, because all it took was one person leaving the gate open.
That's all it took. And it wasn't even a vengeful person. I mean, he didn't do it on purpose. I mean, he was absent-minded, but it wasn't like he intentionally wanted walkers to come in.
I don't know. I think in the back of his mind, I think he did. Mm-hmm. I think he did. Because Gabriel is just...
He's done.
He's a coward.
Yeah.
I hope that changes, because I remember on Talking Dead when he was on one time, you could tell he was getting a little defensive about how people were talking about Gabriel, and I'm like, do you blame him? Do you blame any of us for what we think of him?
That's right.
He's a coward. What do you think of Jesse? I mean, here we have our new Carol, basically. She is what Carol was at the beginning, although she seems stronger than Carol was.
She should have done her own dirty work, not Rick and Bob. For a moment, she did kind of play the damsel in distress, where she wanted Rick to take care of it. But I thought she was stronger than that. Jen, what do you think?
You know, right now I think she's a stereotype for me. She's the stereotypical, like, battered woman, and I haven't really gotten past that yet or seen much more of her character come out. So I don't have a strong opinion outside of the stereotypical view I have of her.
I agree. I think it definitely, you know, obviously everybody can't come in as this strong character that we just love instantly unless they're so established in the comics that people already have a connection there. I mean, you know, look at Daryl. He was pretty much your stereotypical good old boy at the beginning. And it's taken, you know, time for us to see that other side of him. Maybe she's just feeling even more isolated because she is in these walls. Mm-hmm. So not only are you societally isolated from the abuse, but you also really have quite literally nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. Like excuses for her, even though that's what it sounded like. I don't know how I like the relationship between her and Rick. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I don't know if it's just crazy Rick, like the caveman thing. Who is it that one of the guests on Talking Dead was talking about how they thought it was kind of like this caveman thing, you know, my woman, come knock you over the head kind of thing. If Rick's just gone a little feral, if it's just been a little too long, you know, since Lori or what. But I was ready for Ghost Lori to come back and visit.
Oh, that'd really
phone
be bad.
Phone call ringing.
That would really be bad.
Ready for that phone to ring. That would be bad. It would be cool, but it would be bad, yeah.
You know, the phone plays a bigger part in the comic book. He carries around that phone with him, and he talks to Lori more
get to that
in the comic book.
Let's get to that in a second, because we have one more Alexandrite. What do you think about Enid? Okay. She's actually the one I think is most intriguing of our Alexandria people.
She knows more than she's letting on. Or she's, like she said, I think she's like Carl. She's seen the world. She's seen what's out there. She's dealt with it. And those people have no clue. And she's just expressing it in the teen angst way of, you know, the eye rolling and these people have no clue, you know, kind of thing.
Do we have somebody like her in the comics that Carl kind of bonds with that's been outside?
No, not yet. Okay. The timeline for the comic is a lot. Carl, when he gets to Alexandria, is only about 8 or 9.
Okay.
But what I was going to say about Enid, the thing I like about her and the statement I like from the show so much is when she commented about how we're living in their world.
Yeah.
Right. Which is true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's very true. When we were at Walker Stalker Con, Doreen and I went, Jennifer went as well the next day with her friend Clark. We stood in line and we met Chandler Riggs, and that was the question Doreen wanted to ask him, was like, so what's going on with you and Enid? And he gave this little smile. I was like, well, I guess we'll just have to see, won't we? This was before their tree trunk scene. We hadn't seen that episode yet. I like that Carl is kind of getting a contemporary foil friend, you know, kind of thing that can maybe bring out some more in him. And they seem to complement each other really well. Like you said, she knows what it really is like on the outside, unlike a lot of the other people in Alexandria.
Yeah, it'll be interesting where they take it in the show. Like if it'll be a teenage romance. Well, that's where it's apparently headed. The typical teenage romance during the zombie apocalypse.
You gotta have that.
Everyday world. Everyday, yeah. That doesn't stop.
Isn't that what teenagers basically think? You know, it's like, oh, my life is a zombie apocalypse. You don't understand. Well, actually, I am glad that they're giving Carl something and some contemporaries, but I hope it doesn't turn into like 90210 kind of thing.
That's funny.
We don't need that one. Okay, let's go ahead and move on to, like you had alluded to, Lori and the phone call. We have three really strong dead female leads. We had Andrea, Lori, and Beth. Andrea, I know, is, I think she's still alive in the comics, or at least lives a lot longer.
She's still alive as far as the end of Compendium 2.
And then so. Beth, is she...
Beth is an, has was never an Another, entity in the comic okay. in the comic book at all.
Okay,
and then Lori died. Lori and the baby died.
Okay, so, do you miss these characters at all? Are we wishing that they were still around, or was their death really appropriate? Not that you were like glad to see them go, like we would be with Father Gabriel, but was their death appropriate and needed?
I was never a fan of Lori. Nothing against the actress, but just. The way she would play Rick over Shane, I was not sad to see her go. I was sad to see her go the way she went, but no, I didn't care for her. I don't miss her. If she were still around, I'm sure she'd be, you know, I think she was a very strong character, and I think she'd still be very strong, but I don't know how she would have, I don't know. Like I said, the whole... playing Shane and Rick against one another, and I just never liked it. I thought that was backhanded of her, and I don't know.
Yeah.
So, Beth, obviously, I missed. She was definitely getting, she was the sad, suicidal teenage girl who now is, you know, had her moonshine and burned down a shack, and, you know, now she's
schnapps with Daryl.
No schnapps. Yeah.
Well, you're German. You would have gone, hey, schnapps. It's yeah. German.
Is that what you think?
That's what I know.
You don't know nothing.
I know you look at me and you just see another dead girl. I'm not Michonne. I'm not Carol. I'm not Maggie. I've survived and you don't get it because I'm not like you or them, but I made it. And you don't get to treat me like crap just because you're afraid.
I'm afraid of nothing.
I remember when that little girl came out of the barn after my mom. You were like me. And now, God forbid you ever let anybody get too close.
Too close, huh? You know all about that. You lost two boyfriends, you can't even shed a tear. Your whole family's gone. All you can do is go out looking for hoots like some dumb college bitch.
Screw you. You don't get it.
No, you don't get it. Everyone we know's dead.
You don't know that.
Might as well, because you ain't never gonna see him again. Rick, you ain't never gonna see Maggie again.
Dale, just stop.
Governor rolled right up to our gates. Maybe if I wouldn't have stopped looking... Maybe because I gave up. That's on me.
Daryl.
Your dad? Maybe I could have done something.
But she would have gone far. I mean, she her heart was in the right place, and even though she was tough and learning the fight, she, like, with Noah, she saw that Noah was a good kid, and she wanted to help him and, you know,
yeah.
and get out of that situation. And then who was the other one? Andrea. Yeah. Sad about her and her trusting and loving the wrong guy.
You know what I think is interesting about these three women?
Mm.
None of them... were killed by walkers.
That's true.
Oh.
None of them were killed yeah. by walkers. You know, I think Lori's death, I agree with you about the whole Shane thing. I didn't like how she played that. I understand where it was necessary for the way they were taking the story, but I didn't like it. And I think it actually helped set Rick on the path to becoming Shane, because that's basically what he's become. But I like the fact that the way her death was, it was because of childbirth, and that Carl had to step up. I mean, like, he even says, you know, I killed my mom. How'd your mom die? I killed her.
Yeah.
He doesn't expand on it. He doesn't say she was dying, and I'm trying to keep her from
turning into a
becoming
zombie.
A walker.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that he was, it was actually an act of compassion and love. There was nothing he could do. I like that moment because it was such a defining moment for Carl. So I think that helped. Andrea, yeah, she trusted the wrong guy, but man, she was so strong
was.
And the way she went down too.
Andrea. I tried to stop him. You're burning up. Judith, Carl, the rest of them.
Us. The rest of us.
Are they alive?
I like the fact that she was open, but strong. And she had her moment too. She was ready to die in the CDC. And then Dale is like, no, 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 no. You stay, I stay. And she, you know, won't do that. And then Beth had her moment as well, like you said, of, you know, suicide. She was ready to go and then came back really strong. And how she saved Noah, which is sad. I think that made Noah's death even more sad.
Yeah. It was awful.
Is that, yeah, that Beth's death really, it lost some more meaning because of Noah dying.
Beth's transition in the show, I actually really like. I mean, going from a suicidal girl to a very strong woman who's asserting her place in the world. And so I was sorry to see her go. But I like both of you. I didn't have a lot of appreciation for Laurie's character at all. And then Andrea, she trusted the wrong man. She fell in love with the wrong man. And I think, like you said, it's really interesting that all three of them died at the hands of not walkers.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting point because it just shows you that maybe the evil in the world isn't really the zombies. Yeah. It's really the people that are inhabiting this apocalypse.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, I'd have to actually look back and see how that has played out. Because, you know, when I start thinking of the men who've died, when you think about Shane, when you think about like Tyrese or Noah, or, you know, you start going through some of these, like Walker, the Walker had something to do with how they all died and not with the women. So I wonder if that's a conscious choice that there is like almost a respect thing that the writers are doing. It's like, well, we don't want the women to die that way. I don't, you know, I don't know.
Very interesting point.
I will say, you know, yay to Andrea because she obviously was had that openness and that insight, because she's the one that found Michonne and befriended Michonne and got Michonne into our whole thing. You know, they obviously had enough of a bond that Michonne knew that these were good people as well. If they were Andrea's people, they were good people.
Yeah.
And then it was just trying to prove it to Rick and everybody else. How many walkers have you killed?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. I don't know how I could answer that one. Briefly, let's touch on our children, the female kids, Micah and Lizzie and Sophia and Judith, who is the only surviving one, although I know she's dead in the comics as well. How did you like how they treated the female children?
Well, in the comic book, they're little boys. And so that's another interesting thing I really liked about the show.
We don't even get little girls? What the?
I'm telling you, we had to talk to Kirkman.
No.
Kirkman, what's wrong with you?
So, and I love the arc of Lizzie and what's
Micah.
Lizzie, and Micah go through.
Very realistic too, because Lizzie's the crazy one, right? And Micah's the younger one. Just different aspects of how these girls behave. You know, Micah's like afraid of the walkers, but at the same time, she knows to stay away. You know, like, she's not foolish, you know. But she also can't bring herself to kill them. Whereas Lizzie's just doesn't want to kill them because they're her friends.
They're my friends.
But it's the total.
And I will tell you, she had me fooled. Because I really thought, and Doreen will back me up on this, I thought it was Bob. Because I was sketchy about Bob for the longest time. I thought it was Bob that was feeding the walkers. Mm-hmm. And Doreen's like, no, it's Lizzie. I'm like, no, they wouldn't do that with a kid. I'm like, oh, they did. They made her psycho.
Yeah, she's a psycho. She's a psycho. Yeah.
She is. I don't know. It's one of those things where these are like so heartbreaking. These kids are at the center of really heartbreaking moments. That when Sophia is found as a walker in the barn, and, you know, Daryl is the one that takes care of her, that moment, like that hope that everybody had that they were going to find Sophia. And I think they all kind of knew that they weren't, you know, with how lost she was and how long it was. But that moment was really heart-wrenching. And the Lizzie and Micah, that episode was just... Tyrese and... it has been at the heart of two incredible episodes, his death and then that episode with him and Carol and Mike and Lizzie. Those were just such pivotal, I think really game-changing episodes for the series, because having Lizzie kill Micah to see she'll turn into one soon and then you'll see they're friends, we're all happy. And then having to have Carol kill both of them and then having to have Tyrese understand. And, you know, basically forgive Carol for this. It's like, I get it. You know, that was rough.
Especially for Carol and how much she loved, you know, her daughter. And then she just knew it had to be done, though. There was just no rescuing Lizzie. There was no putting any understanding in her. And Carol has to take care of it, because next thing you know, she almost killed Judith, you know. And instead of freaking out, I mean, she freaked out internally, but she was just like, okay, talk her off the ledge. Okay, you can't do that to Judith because she can't even walk yet. You know, like...
Oh, that would be cruel.
You know? Like, yeah, don't do that to her. She can't even walk yet. You know, why would you... You know, kind of thing. And so Lizzie saw... She's like, don't be mad. Don't be mad. You know, so she kind of... Oh, man, that had just been so hard to, like, keep a straight face and be like, okay, we'll wait. We'll wait until she comes back, you know, and... Look at the flowers.
Look at the flowers, Lizzie. Look at the flowers. That was such a defining moment for Carol, too. I mean, come on. I wonder if Rick could have done that.
I really do. I don't know.
It was the right thing to do. It was tough, but it was the right thing to do. I don't know if any of the guys really could have done that. I think it was a Carol thing. So is Judith going to survive in the series? Do you think we're going to see her grow up? I'd had this theory at one time back when we had the whole thing with possibly Washington and Eugene that maybe Judith, since she's like the generation that's been conceived and born after the virus, that maybe there's something in her that would cure them. There's
no cure.
I have a feeling though. I have a feeling Kirkman he doesn't care about the cure. He doesn't care about backstories anymore. And he doesn't care about cures.
But I like that. I like that analogy though. I really think that there might be, if they were to tap into that, I think that probably would be the case, you know, that the children born in the with the virus probably have the cure in their blood somehow.
Or at least immune, so it won't happen to them or something. Yeah. I don't know. I hope they don't kill the baby. No baby killing.
Or maybe they go reverse. They could turn, but then turn back.
The comic, in the comic, the baby dies.
What were you saying about the comic?
Oh, the baby dies.
Yeah.
Judith dies in the comic. So it's a lot more prophetic the way that, you know, Laurie died in the show versus the comic, because basically it's just they're shot while they're trying to be running. They're trying to run away, and they're just shot.
Right. I think that the women seem to be having more meaningful deaths in the show. From what I'm hearing, what's happening in the comics, it seems like the women are almost and not as integral to the story.
Yeah, they're very... Well, it's weird. It's hard to explain. They're still very much a part of it in the way that Rick relies on Michonne and Andrea for their skills. Mm-hmm. But very much as he would relate to those two women on the level that he would relate to any other guy that was providing a certain level of skill. So the women aren't... I don't like the portrayal of the women in the comic books overall, but I think it's because it makes them overall a little more weaker than the show. And but some of it is actually based in reality. I mean, you think about it, a zombie apocalypse is going to be competition for men for mates. You know,
I think there'd be competition for women for mates. It's like, hey, you know.
Well, yeah, and you don't get that because the comics are written by a man.
Yeah.
So, I don't know that I answered your question. I kind of veered off there.
Okay, well, let's move on to a similar, but let's hit back over to the TV show. What do you think the creators are getting right about women on the TV show? And what are some of the things they're getting wrong or that you don't like that they're missing? This is the TV show. So what are they doing right by women and what are they not getting right?
Well, obviously the way they portray women in the show, like with Michonne and Carol, very strong, independent, can't exist without leaning on a man. I think that viewpoint is right. What they're getting wrong? That'd be tougher for me to come up with something.
I don't think they're getting...
Doreen, you got any ideas?
Well, I don't think they're getting... Well, I don't want to say that I don't think they're getting that much wrong. I mean, with the characters we know, they are getting it right. And I think the actresses are probably bringing it. Like, I don't know how much input they have, the actresses, into their characters. But I honestly think that if something was written and one of the actresses, you know, said, hey, Carol's not going to... you know, go back to this, you know, she's already come a long way. She's not going to take two steps back. You know, I don't know if they have input in their character and how they are, but I don't know. They've lasted this long. I think they just see that they're strong and that they know they're stronger than they are. You know, they're stronger than they give themselves credit for. And they're realizing that, and they've been through so much already and done accomplished so much. They're not going to go back. They are going to just be stronger. I mean, they might have a breaking point like Sasha. You know, they might go. I think that's. I don't think it'll be a slow degradation. I think it'll be all of a sudden if they go, it's a mental thing like Sasha went through. But I don't know. But there's so many other women in the zombie apocalypse we don't see. So I'm sure there are the stereotypical where they're fighting for men and they're acting like, you know, the men will protect us and we're helpless. I'm sure there are women out there kind of like that. I don't think we just don't see them because we don't want to see them. We want to see our gang. So we don't want to see our gang like that. And then when we do find one, like when they go to this town and Jessie, I like her. You know, I think she has a fighter in her, but right now she is playing the battered mom, the battered wife, and Rick, come help me, or, you know, kind of thing. So I don't know. I don't know if I made any sense whatsoever.
You know what I take from what you said?
Yeah, what did you take? Tell me you took something. Because I kind of just
tell me
rambling.
Tell me I said something really great. Yeah.
No, I think you did. I think you did. And the fact that you're saying the arc of the women in the show is very much from a point, you know, you can see their arc and they progress and they change over the course of the show. And I think that's what the show is doing right.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're saying is every woman has a nice arc.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, of a story. And that's what's really lacking in the comic book, in my opinion, is that there's no woman who really has an arc, because it's a lot more about killing zombies.
Well,
and who's at war with who.
Well, and that's what I was thinking with the book too. I mean, it's a comic. I'm not downplaying a comic by any means whatsoever, but it's one writer writing his story. Whereas when you have a TV show and you have actors who are bringing their own input in, yeah, they're reading the script, they're not writing the script. The director has an idea of what the character's going to be like, but at the same time, that individual actor brings something to it, you know, and they probably are going to fight and say, well, I don't see Carol being a big wussy baby now, you know, like, or, you know what I mean? Like, they're going to make sure their character doesn't regress.
I think some of it's also not even that they're conscious of the input that they have, but when you see how these actresses are, what they're bringing to these roles, what they're taking from what they have on the page in this script, I think it's impressing the creators enough. I mean, you have, first off, something I want to commend the show for, too, is, you know, they have showrunners and producers and all these that, I mean, there's women represented in these high power roles too. It's not like it's all created by men. It's all produced by men. It's all showrunner. You know, we have a lot of women that are up there too. And I think that seeing that and then seeing what Melissa McBride and Lauren Cohen and Danae Gurira and everybody else is bringing to the roles, I think it's sparking ideas for the writers that maybe they were going to kill Carol off like they did in the comics, but something Melissa was bringing to it, they said, no, let's keep her around for a little while longer. Let's mm-hmm. give her a little bit more. Let's see what she does with this. Let's see where she takes it. Whereas, you know, like you were saying, Kirkman's writing this and it's whatever the characters are bringing in his own mind, not somebody outside that he's being surprised by. So I think they have an immense influence in the whole thing, which I think is fabulous. Let's close this out with which characters, female characters on there, do you think is closest to how we would react in the zombie apocalypse? Who is closest to what you think you would actually do should this zombie apocalypse happen?
You know who I think I'm closest like would be probably Tara.
I can actually see that. And what's funny is I was thinking, should I pose this as we say who we think would be, or should I do it in us talking about who we think each other were? And actually, Tara was somebody that I've definitely picked with you.
Oh, huh. Interesting.
And that's a good thing. No, because I think she's very zen and at peace and you know, a fighter, but not going to ignore the human relationships just for the fighting kind of thing. Yeah, I can definitely see it.
Yeah.
What about you, Dee?
Well, I don't know if you see it or not, but I kind of always thought I'd be similar to Andrea in that I'd probably kind of be... What?
That's exactly who I was going to pick for you, actually.
You know, I could see me being, like, frustrated and torn at first in the whole, I don't want to live in this world. I'm not saying I would... I don't know what I would actually do. I mean, nobody would really know until it happened, but I would imagine.
And I don't want to know.
I don't want to know.
I don't want it
but
to happen.
I can see I me being like, you know, fed up and tired and I don't want to run anymore. And the whole, you know, sitting in the CDC, it would be just so easy just to not be there.
Yeah.
But I would think, I would hope after, if I did get past that point, that I would be a fighter. You know, maybe not as badass as she is, but I would at least, you know, if I found a good group of people, I would fight for them, you know.
I totally see that. And she always had some really great shoes. Because you would have great shoes in the zombie apocalypse.
They were all free in the zombie apocalypse. You could just go to the mall and pick a pair.
Ooh, love that price.
Yeah, so do I. That's my price.
Nothing,
yeah.
Everyone knows
I think it's really funny because now actually I picked that. And actually something else I picked with Andrea, with you, when I was kind of thinking about it, was really the fact that she was trying to bridge those things. It wasn't like she was with the governor and against Rick. She was trying to bridge this, and she was trying to get, you know, can't we all just get along?
Yes.
And then getting really upset when it wasn't happening, and then doing the right thing, which I see with you as well. So I find that funny.
So what about you?
Yeah, Heather.
Who would I pick, and see if you guys agree with who? Not wanting to go for a main character, but I think that it, for me, I'd say there'd really be aspects of Carol. Mm-hmm. Because she does and yet doesn't get her hands dirty. She blends into the background, but she also doesn't. She thinks things through. I like to think I would maybe do more than that. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, no.
She's the one I kind of most see traits. I'm like, yeah, that's probably what I'd do. Yeah, that's right. I would hope I would do that. I would hope I would go do the blow up fireworky thing at Terminus.
That's right.
Try and get people out. So.
And she can make cookies without eggs.
And I can make cookies without eggs.
That's right. I've made those cookies, by the way. They're pretty good.
You need to make some for us. Actually, you need to make some of those cake ball brains that I sent
you. Yes, I know.
Before. Those are really... Okay, well, does that jive with you two, or do you see somebody else more? Since who you guys each said is exactly who I was going to think for you guys.
I can see what you're saying with Carol. I can see that. You're not one to... You do think things through.
So you know what I think is funny, Jen?
What's that?
Is right when she's about to say who she thinks it is, she starts pinging out.
What?
Oh, I was wondering if you actually heard what she said, because I couldn't hear.
No, right as you were about to say who you thought I would most be like, that's when you started pinging out. So it's like the internet's going, no, you don't want to hear, Heather. Don't hear.
Oh, no. I agree with the Carol thing, because...
Okay.
Because you are... I know how you are. You've been my best friend forever, and you are more where you like to sit and, like, kind of be part of the background, but your brain's still going, you know, you're not checked out. You're still trying to, like, you know, plan, you know, the next move or do this. You know, you're just not obvious, you know, like with Andrea or Rick or Michonne, you know, they have their weapons drawn and they're just going. You're more in the back.
Yeah, I can fit in with the junior league.
You're more in the background where you're like, you're being just as, you know, an asset to the group. You're just doing it kind of behind the scenes, and let's think this out, and okay, you know, I mean, the whole Carol, you know, mixing in with the zombies and following him to Terminus and then figuring out how to blow the thing. I mean, that was just genius, you know, so.
Oh, thank you. Oh, wait, that was
You did a
idea.
Good job.
That was good. Thank you very much.
You know,
What about you, Jim?
No, go ahead.
No, I was good. Go ahead and finish.
I just said you're like that in real life. If there's a problem, you think it out, you know. So, what are you laughing at? It's true.
I'm blushing now. What about you, Jen? Does that jive, or do you see somebody else?
Well, I was just thinking, I don't know that I would have picked Carol, but at the same time, I think Carol fits you. So, so I don't have a better answer for you. But I do...
Okay, so who...
I do see...
Which character would we want to be?
Oh, I'd want to be Michonne.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
What about you, Heather?
Michonne would be fun for the afternoon. I think I'd actually rather be Maggie.
Oh, there you go. That's a good one. Yeah, she has sex on a regular basis too, so.
Exactly. That would be... See, this is how well Doreen knows me. She's like, oh, wait a second. She picked one in the zombie apocalypse. Because it's only... Really, we only have Maggie, Rosita, and then Andrea and Lori. I don't know, so. I have to say, too, Alex was going to join us for this podcast, but Google Hangouts decided not to like her. I have a feeling that she would... To me, she's most like Michonne. I can see her being really annoyed at all the zombies out there and taking her Polish version of a katana to all the zombies there. Hopefully she can join us for the next time that we talk about the ladies of another show, or maybe we'll talk more Walking Dead. But so who do you guys really like in The Walking Dead of the women? We're talking about the women here. You can go over to scififorme.com to talk about the men, because Tim and all of them would love to have that. We would love to hear who you really like on The Walking Dead in the women category there. Let us know. You can email us, scififorchicks@scififorme.com. You can give us a call at our hotline, 573-427-2434. That's 573-42-SCI-FI. And of course, you can let us know on Twitter at @scififorchicks. Trying to get a little bit better there in our following and liking and commenting and quoting and all that kind of fun stuff. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us. How did you like your first podcast?
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it a lot.
I'm glad you had a good time. You did a wonderful job, which means you are stuck now. You will be on more podcasts in the future. We'll just find the right shows for you to talk about. And, you know, seeing as I've suckered you into Whovian, she's a Wholand now. We've got all sorts of other shows that we're going to get you into as well. Google Hangouts has also decided to not like Doreen anymore, but we were just getting ready to sign off. So I'm going to do the whole Oscar Emmy speech kind of thing and say thank you so much for being here. Doreen was a wonderful addition to this podcast, as she always is. Next time, maybe we need to have a few drinks. Jennifer already had
Sounds
one.
Sounds good.
She had a beer going there, and I was very jealous because I'm used to podcasting early in the day, and I can't do that. So
can you hear me?
Oh, she's back.
Hey,
my
she's back.
My iPad keeps closing down.
Maybe it needs power. She's back just in time for us to say goodbye to all our family. Doreen, thank you so much for joining us.
Sure.
I hope you had fun talking Walking Dead chicks.
I did.
We'll have to talk again soon about some more women of TV shows and movies. Yeah, let us know which shows and movies you would like to talk. And if you want to join us, we would love to have new chicks join us to talk about all these things. I mean, there's some great shows. We have all sorts of great shows. So let us know what shows you would like to hear us talk about. Ladies, thank you again so much.
My pleasure.
It was fun. It's a Sci-Fi for Chicks podcast. We have to have technical difficulties. We will catch you next time. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. Leslie Walker here, inviting you to join me and the rest of the Sci-Fi for Me crew every week as we dive into the details of the TV shows that you and we love. Did you miss your favorite show this week? Or perhaps you need someone to talk to about that latest plot twist and the implications. Well, maybe your friends don't geek out over shows like Supernatural, Grimm, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. like what your friends over at Sci-Fi for Me do, but hey, it's what we live for. So join us for the latest at scififorme.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
On our next episode, the ladies talk about the women of NBC's Grimm.
There's a silver lining here somewhere. We'll find a way. And then when the Hex and Beast thing, it was like, no, there's no good answer to this. Nope, there isn't anything. And I like being bad. I like being mean. And I like this power.
And I think they were all in denial about where this was coming from. You know, they knew she was angry, hurt, scared, frightened. You know, they just really thought they could bring her back through all that. It didn't work.
They're going to be like this force that's, I don't want to say Batman and Robin. It's even more than that. You know, they're going to just really, take on the vessel. That's my guess. That's what I'm kind of hoping for.
Yeah, and not only that, but made some really, in my opinion, the character was written to make some really stupid choices.
That's next time on Sci-Fi for Chicks, Women of Genre.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi For Me Radio.